morning. It's 4 o'clock, Mr. Clark.
What?
It's 4 o'clock. He left a call.
Oh, yes. Thanks. Now, here we go again.
Neither snow, nor rain, nor heat, nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. Those words of Herodotus are the motto of diplomatic couriers throughout the world. Even when weary bodies cry for rest, the summons must be obeyed, when the errand is not your own, but the nation's you serve. Our program for today is the story of the diplomatic courier. Nor heat, nor gloom of night. The men to whom Herodotus paid his tribute were the messengers of state, charged with transporting the diplomatic correspondence from one nation to another, entrusted with the most secret documents of state and the confidence of kings. The science of communications has moved forward since those days. The radio, telephone, and telegraph have made the transmission of information almost instantaneous. But today is then when the secrets of state, the most highly confidential documents, must be sent from one nation to another. The method is still the same. As in the days of Herodotus, it is still the courier who guards the material entrusted to him with his life, if need be, who carries the documents labeled top secret from embassy to embassy, from the State Department to the officers of the Foreign Service at their posts of duty around the world. He's a young man, generally, the typical diplomatic courier. Young because he has to have the endurance to stand up under the strain of long hours of daily travel, the constant changes of climate, food, and living conditions, the hazards of his profession. He is a man of courage and of quick-thinking ingenuity, because there is never a moment when some crisis of transportation, the elements, or of human perversity may not threaten the quick and safe transmittal of vitally important information. And above all, he is a man of unquestioned loyalty, because to his possession are entrusted the highest documents of state. But perhaps the best person to tell about the life and the duties of a diplomatic courier is the courier himself.
I'm a diplomatic courier, or used to be. And I'm glad to have a chance to tell you something about the job, about some of the things my friends have done, the way they live, and the way some of them died. But first off, the fact is the job is mainly hard work, if you can call sitting still for 16 hours a day, every day hard work. Take the South American run, for example. The route goes down the west coast of South America, from Panama to Santiago, then across the Andes to Buenos Aires, and up the other side of South America and on into Miami. You're in the air 12 to 16 hours a day, 24 days out of 30. You get 2 days off in 14, but if your plane is held over or forced down, that counts as a day off, even if you have to spend it in a leaky hangar on the side of a muddy emergency landing field. You have to get up every day at from 3 to 4:30 o'clock in the morning to clear customs and make the plane by 6. And generally, you don't reach your destination for the day until 6 or 8 o'clock in the evening. It doesn't leave you much time for sightseeing, if you want any sleep, particularly since you can't let those diplomatic pouches out of your sight once they're entrusted to you. That's quite a responsibility. Let me tell you about a courier named Henry Coleman. He was carrying a pouch from the United States to the embassy in London during wartime aboard a small, fast liner, the Western Prince. They were in mid-Atlantic, 5 days out, when one night...
All hands on deck! All
cabin, courier Henry Coleman is wakened by the shock of the torpedo, slips on a few clothes, grabs his diplomatic passport and a precious leather pouch, hurries to the deck. Coleman is assigned his place in a lifeboat, helps pull it away from the rapidly sinking ship, and a few moments later...
I think we're far enough away, Mr. Coleman?
Yes. We won't be caught in the suction when she goes down now.
She's going down awfully fast?
Yes. Won't be long now. Listen.
Someone's still on board. They're trapped.
No. No, it's the captain. A farewell salute to his crew. He's going down to his ship.
There he goes.
Farewell, resting prince.
What do we do now?
I don't think it makes much difference. We're in mid-ocean. One direction is as good as any other.
But we ought to do something. Isn't there something we can do, Mr. Coleman?
The best thing we can do is try to stay where we are. We're in the shipping lane now. We may get picked up, if we're lucky. Have you checked the food stores?
Yes. If we're careful, the water ought to hold out 2 days. The food a little longer.
You take charge of it, will you?
Okay, Mr. Coleman.
Shall we fire another flare?
How many have we left?
4.
Well, there's always a chance it'll be seen. Might as well try another.
Okay, then. Here goes.
There's only one flare left.
Then what do we do?
Wait. And pray.
We can't just sit here waiting, waiting for... Oh, I'd rather end it now.
Hey, hold on.
Stop letting go.
No, now listen. When the food and water are gone, you can do what you like. Right now, you're going to sit still and be quiet. Sit down.
There's only one more flare.
It may be the lucky one. And it's always possible our SOS was picked up. Relax. We're not licked yet.
Shall I let her go, Mr. Coleman? The last flare?
Why not? Got to sooner or later.
Right. Hold on to your hats, girls and boys. This is it. Hey, look. On the horizon. Over there.
What? I can't see anything now. It's faded.
But I saw it. A ship. And she was headed this way.
Help the lady over the side.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Hey, what's the kiss for?
I promised I'd kiss the first person I saw if we were ever saved. Because I'd never be so happy to see anyone again as long as I live.
Here, give the gentleman a hand.
I can make it.
Can I give you a hand with the bag?
No, thanks. The bag stays with me. That's my job. Where's the captain?
Right here, young man. What can I do for you?
I'm the United States diplomatic courier, Captain. Will you tell me the destination of the ship and when we arrive there?
Yes, she's a slow part, this old boat, but we ought to make the coast of Scotland in maybe 4 or 5 days.
Glad we're headed in the right direction anyway, Captain.
Yeah, I think maybe it'll be very uncomfortable. No quarters for passengers on freight. £3 a floor, maybe.
That's okay by me. It'll be warm for a change, and I'll use my pouch for a pillow.
There's one leaving in 10 minutes, Mr. Coleman, but you'll want to change your clothes and some rest before you go on shore, eh?
No, thanks. I'm late now. I'll catch the train.
It's a long journey, sir, and you may have to stand.
That's all right. After sleeping on the galley table of a freighter for 5 nights, I'll be glad to spend one standing up.
You, sir?
Yes. My name's Coleman, courier. Looking for someone to deliver this pouch to.
I'll qualify for that, I guess. I'm Henderson, chief clerk. But weren't you met in the usual way?
No, I didn't come in the usual way.
Well, here, I'll take the pouch for you. You look all in, Mr. Coleman.
Oh, just a little tired. Sorry the pouch was late. I was delayed a little.
that he delivered the pouch intact. In our job, that's all that counts. Maybe you'd like to know more about the pouches we carry. Actually, there are two standard sizes, the 66-pound job for rail and steamer travel, and the 40-pound size for travel by air. Documents of the highest classification are put in a briefcase that never leaves the courier's person. You realize that a courier may have to handle a dozen or more pouches, weighing anywhere up to a total of 1,300 pounds, that he has to carry them himself when there are no porters available to move them. You can see that being a courier is no job for dodderers or the weak-hearted. That guarding the pouch business is probably the most important part of the courier's job, and it's a duty that becomes almost a religion. You may remember the transatlantic plane flying the run to Lisbon in 1943 that reached the city safely on Washington's birthday, circled for a landing, and then something happened. We don't know exactly what did happen to that plane. The disaster could have been due to pilot error or structural failure. It may have been sabotage. But we do know from his position when his body was recovered from the plane, the courier, James Wright, was trying to protect his diplomatic pouches when he died. His life has its occupational hazards, from natural disasters and accidents to tropical diseases and exposure to the elements. But it has its satisfactions, its pleasures, and its thrills as well. We all have our memories of many people and places and happenings. Some sad, some warm and human, some gay, like courier Byron White's experience on a plane en route from Iguazu Falls, Brazil, to Asuncion. A pretty Paraguayan senorita was passing his seat when the plane gave a sudden lurch and dumped a surprised young lady in his lap.
Dios mío, señor. Kiss me, kiss me.
I beg your pardon. What did you say?
I said, kiss me, kiss me.
Yes, that's what I thought you said. Senorita, would you mind telling me where you learned your English?
Oh, I learned it from the American soldier in Asuncion. He teach me the correct way to say I am sorry. You see, in the books it is, excuse me, but that is true. So the soldier teach me the polite thing to say is, kiss me.
Yes, the life of a courier has its brighter sides, but always in the background is the job and the responsibility it entails. You may think it odd that, considering the importance of the documents entrusted to him, the courier carries no firearms. Though he must guard these documents with his life if necessary, he travels unarmed. He's expected to extricate himself from any situation in which he finds himself through the use of his wits and ingenuity. Plenty of wit, ingenuity, and endurance were needed by courier Horton R. Telford on the day he was called into the office of his superior in Bern, Switzerland, and given a new assignment.
I'm assigning you to the Rome, Athens, Istanbul run, Telford. It may be the last run we can make on this route. You know what the situation is?
Yes, sir. Pretty tense.
You can expect trouble all the way. But it's vitally important that the pouches go through. It may be our last chance to get certain documents out.
Yes, sir.
You understand? No matter what happens, the pouches must be delivered in Istanbul.
The trip from Bern to Rome was uneventful, but then in Rome...
I am sorry, signore. We cannot honor your ticket. The Rome-Athens plane has been canceled.
Well, what about tomorrow, then?
The flight is canceled indefinitely, signore.
Then I'll charter a plane.
There will be no more flights to Athens at all, signore.
But why? Unless it means war.
I cannot say, signore. Only that all flights to Greece are canceled.
That day, Italy declared war on Greece. And with all flights canceled, Telford began the long, circuitous overland route by rail. up the coast from Rome, and across the hump of the Apennines to Venice, then across the frontier of Yugoslavia to Belgrade, and down to the border of Greece. And then, at the little town of Jevđelje, on the frontier between Yugoslavia and Greece, the train grinds to a halt.
Everyone out! Leave the train! All passengers must leave the train!
What's the trouble, officer? Are we going through the customs here?
No. The train stopped here. Frontier is closed.
But I'm going to Athens.
No trains cross the frontier. Your money will be refunded.
I don't want my money. I've got to get to Athens. I've got a diplomatic passport.
I tell you, frontier is closed. Your passport may get you past the barrier. But if you want to cross, you must walk.
Oh,
there's a train from Kivali on the other side of the border that will take you to Athens, Kitty.
Oh, good. That's what I want. Can I hire a car to take me there?
You may hire a car, Kitty, but not for Kivali. No cars make cross the frontier.
But I've got to get across. I've got to get these pouches to Athens.
There will be no difficulty for you to cross the frontier with your passport. But if you wish to go to Kivali, you must walk.
Oh. How far is it?
It is a matter of 20 kilometers, Kitty, more or less.
Probably more. And I have 5 60-pound pouches to carry.
Well, I believe I can hire porters for you, Kitty, but they will all have to walk.
Over the flinty mountain roads, 20 kilometers by foot, with porters carrying the precious diplomatic pouches, Courier Horton Telford trudges across the border into Greece, the little town of Kivali. He nears the railroad station, and then... Telford settled himself with his pouches in his compartment and hoped the rest of the journey to Athens and Istanbul would be uneventful. A few hours later, the train pulled into the station at Salonika, and then...
Excuse me? If you will remove those bags, sir, I can get in?
I'm sorry, madam. This compartment is reserved.
For whom?
For me.
A whole compartment for one man? That is outrageous.
I have a great deal of luggage, madam. It can't be put in the luggage van. It's too important. But if you want a seat, there is plenty of room up forward.
You're a foreigner, aren't you?
Yes, I'm
a... Why are you traveling in this country now with all that baggage? Why do you insist on having a compartment to yourself?
Well, I'm on sort of a special mission, madam, and now if
you... I insist that you put those bags in the luggage van where they belong.
But I can't do
that. I insist on seeing your passport.
Well, I'll show it to an officer if he wants to see it, but I'll not show it to you. And
I'm going to get into this compartment.
If you do, I'll have to call a train official and have you removed.
You aren't fooling me, not for one moment. You haven't heard the last of this.
Hours and one air raid later.
Steady, it's Osterman.
What is it, officer?
I demand you hand over your pistol to me.
What? I haven't any pistol.
This loser, you drew a pistol and threatened her with it when she tried to enter this compartment.
That's an outrageous lie. I tell you I haven't any pistol. I'm unarmed.
And this spy, I tell you, those leather bags are full of bombs. He's going to blow us all up.
Oh, you will permit that I search your baggage?
I most certainly will not permit. Those are diplomatic pouches for the American Embassy, and they are not to be examined by anyone. I'm a diplomatic courier. Here, there are my credentials and my diplomatic passport. Look at them. Read them.
Lying, despite the passport is a forgery.
Well, I've never seen a passport like this before.
It's a diplomatic passport, and it's in perfect order. The woman's an hysterical fool.
You may be telling the truth. However, you will leave the train here and come with me until I can check up on your identity.
I will not leave the train here or anywhere else. These are diplomatic pouches that must be delivered in Athens. From there, I've got to go on to Istanbul. I'm days late already. If you want a really first-class diplomatic incident on your hands, just try delaying or interfering with me on those pouches.
She's a spy!
If you are what you say, I do not want to interfere.
But I am. Look at the passport. Can't you read?
However, I do not wish to leave you alone with these luggage that cannot be examined. You may continue your journey, but I am going to assign two officers to this compartment. You will consider yourself their prisoner.
train finally pulls into Athens. The courier tells her, turns to one of the grim-faced guards sitting beside him.
Well, here we are. Now I'm going to make a telephone call to my legation, and we'll straighten out this ridiculous mess.
Miastig Michidia, it will not be permitted that you use the telephono.
What?
You are under arrest. You'll be taken to police headquarters at once.
But I can clear this up in 5 minutes if you'll only take me to the legation.
If you enter the legation, you can claim the right of asylum. Even if your passport is forged, we could not touch you. We don't intend to lose you that way. You are going to police headquarters.
You may as well tell the truth, Mr. Delford, as you call yourself. We shall get it out of you sooner or later.
I have told you the truth. All these charges are fantastic.
The charges are very serious. Carrying a concealed weapon, photographing airfield installation, and transporting high explosives for the purpose of sabotage.
Listen, I have no pistol, I have no camera, and I'm not transporting high explosives. If you'll only telephone the legation, they'll open the pouches and verify the contents to you.
Sooner or later, you will confess that the American seals on those bags are forgeries. Then we will break the seals and open the bags ourselves.
Listen, you double-dyed, star-crossed, free-brained, dim-witted moron. I'm a courier. These are diplomatic pouches. I've got to get them to Istanbul. They're important, see? And you're making them later. I've got to get them through. And now, in the name of what little common sense you possess, will you call the American legation?
Hours and 2,000 questions later,
the police commissioner extends his most profound apology to the courier Horton Telford and assures him that no such regrettable misunderstanding will occur again in the future. However, if Mr. Telford had referred the investigating authorities to the American legation at once, there would have been no difficulty.
I'm afraid I've got bad news for you, Telford. All train service and all plane flights from Athens are canceled.
Yeah, I was expecting something like that. What do I do now, walk?
Well, I hope you won't have to do any more walking, my boy. I've made arrangements for you to take a legation car. You can drive up to Alexandropolis near the Turkish border. The Sofia Istanbul line passes near there, and if the last reports are still running, with any kind of luck, you can have the express flagged at one of the small stations there.
Well, that sounds okay. Is there a road map in the car, or do I get a driver?
Peter can't spare you a driver, but Chipperfield here can go along with you. You know the roads, don't you, Chip?
Yeah, if you can call them roads. I warn you, Telford, it's 450 miles of goat tracks through the mountains. I won't guarantee that we'll get there, but we can try.
Okay, then, let's go. It still sounds better than walking.
Just a slight skid. I think I can pull out of it okay.
He's just digging deeper into the mud.
I think maybe this time.
Now what?
I'm licked.
Do they have St. Bernards in these mountains?
They don't have anything in these mountains but goats.
Well, then let's go catch some goats and hitch them up. We've got to pull this car back on the road some way.
Plodding through the mud of the wild mountain road and drenched to the skin in a pouring rain, the two men come at last to an isolated farm. They persuade the farmer to hitch up a team of 6 oxen to drag the car back on the road. And then, once more, at the scene of the accident.
Rostora! Rostora, Vivian!
use, Chip. They can't butcher.
Well, if six oxen can't, nothing will.
No. There's only one hope now. Persuade this hardy mountaineer to lend us his cart and a couple of those flea-bitten animals. We'll make it the rest of the way by ox cart.
What about the car?
That's your headache. I've got to get these pouches through. How am I doing, Chip?
I think you're getting close.
Say, ask the philosopher how much further to the railroad, will you?
I'm pointing dead ahead. Hey, look, you can see it through the trees. Just about a quarter of a mile more.
Oh, baby. Bust out there. Let's go. Bust out!
Here she comes. Looks like your troubles are over.
Yeah, till the next time. Say, do you think she's going to pay any attention to the little red flag that guy's languidly waving about?
Well, if she doesn't, there'll always be another one along. Someday.
Hey, I've got to get these pouches to Istanbul.
Seems to me I've heard that song before.
Well, it's my job. I'm not doing this for fun.
It's been fun, though, hasn't it?
It's been the worst series of headaches of my life. But maybe I did enjoy it a little.
Hey, she's stopping. Your luck's in, kid. You're on your way.
Well, there's a courier for you, and there's the job. I guess the guy was right who said it was a job that called for courage, ingenuity, and endurance. And I think it calls for something else, too. I don't know just how to say it. Maybe you could call it morale, or loyalty, or integrity. Or maybe you'd call it just plain guts.